Awkward people, Stephanie and I are super excited to announce a new partnership that we have with a swinging community site called SDC. Now, the way that we're going to handle this one is this is where we're going to communicate from now on with anybody that we want to play with, because SDC has a great way of letting us figure out exactly what somebody is. It's going to ask all the right questions. I get to know what their height, their weight, their play preference. All kinds of pictures, they can upload videos, and it makes it super easy to search and verify location on. So we figured, hey, if they're gonna let us play and advertise, that's probably gonna be the right site for us to use, right, Steph?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense.
It's like window shopping now. Steph can just jump on and whoever she likes, boom, right there. Now, if you wanna make sure that you get connected with us on that site, sign up through our link, awkward. XXX.com. Anybody that signs up there, we will find out. Now, maybe not immediately because we're still learning, but we will find you and we will send you a message saying, hey, thank you for joining. And it'll be a great way for us to connect and have unfiltered conversation together. So we're really looking forward to it. And hopefully, we'll see you online at AwkwardXX.
So, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene. The Summer's Eve products, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve
Right.
or spring blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself, too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to take away that natural,
Flavor.
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code Stephanie Class X and get yourself.
Hey, Jason. I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe, what do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the Spicy Pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to, actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw.
Right.
But how are you thinking we do it? Like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go. In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen, be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We love to do custom content, and we love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. You want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.
You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Class, along with my wife, OnlyFans model and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Class. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you. Welcome back again. We are still the number three podcast on sexuality in the United Arab Emirates.
Yes.
And that's only because we've done three shows within a 24 hour span.
Right.
But,
you know,
I'm going to brag about that as often as I possibly can until probably tomorrow when I'm like number 76 or something.
Look on but, the bright side.
Exactly. I'm going to stay positive. So today, our guest, I was talking to her and she started saying a bunch of long words. And I said, you know what? I'm going to fuck this up. Please, you introduce yourself today before we get into this conversation. And I take us down a road that we're not supposed to go on. Go ahead.
So I'm Sarah. I am the founder of Digital Operations Society, which is an association for ethical entrepreneurs in the digital marketing industry.
See, that's why I couldn't say it.
Yeah. So underneath that, I have a membership. I'm the founder of called the Biology of Internal Operations. It's essentially how to build out your business, the foundation of it, and make sure that it's not cracked as you scale. And I do that by setting like your ethics and your values and what means is the most important to you between life and work and all of that. So that's what I do like in real life. Also, I am a mom, you know, I have a partner, like I have like a real life too, which is cool, but that's what I do in business.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
So you'd mentioned to me that we have a little bit of a crossover here as far as people in your industry don't necessarily come on podcasts like this necessarily and talk about this kind of stuff. So I'm excited to kind of dive into some of these topics with you, especially because, okay, so I do come from a business, you know, world. That's like before we got into this, I think that's probably part of why we were able to be somewhat successful in this is because I was able to approach our, you know, OnlyFans and adult industry with a business mindset.
Right. As just being like, hey, we're going to just like hope for the best. And it's like you had a plan.
Like we did for the podcast. We threw that out here and we hoped for the best. We had zero plan whatsoever. And it's working out, but we did have a plan for the OF.
Right.
And it has worked out from time to time pretty well. But bringing in the ethics side of that to an industry like we are in,
right?
That gets really tough because you're already dealing
with sensitive
stuff.
Right.
And sometimes shadier characters, you know? So your ethics are automatically just going to get skewed. One thing that I've always bragged about, and actually we had business cards at one point, and it was your business card, and basically it was like ethical porn, essentially, is what we said. And when we told her mom that she did porn, that was the first thing we said. We're like, no, but like, really, like, as far as porn stars go, she's like the superhero. She's like the goody good. Like if you can have like a good witch, bad witch of porn, she's definitely the good witch, you know? I think that made the blow just a little softer for her mom.
That's a great analogy. Like it would make it softer for me. I'd be like, cool. So let's stick with that. Let's stay on that.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, do good.
We're just not going to go into details other than that, but like just, you know, so, you know, we're not like on the bad side of, you know, of the porn situation.
I mean, it's essentially right. I think it's the same thing for business kind of stretched out. So when we're talking about like the industries, and this is something that I discovered pretty quickly in. So a lot of what I do, and I say this all the time, a lot of what I do professionally is based on hopes and dreams. Like I produce events. I coach speakers. Right? What do you look like? How do you present yourself when you're on stage? What's the words coming out of your mouth? And a lot of the speaking industry literally went from how do I inspire and motivate to how do I manipulate for sales? And I saw this over and over again. And as I started seeing this online digital marketing coaching industry become more and more flooded with this idea, I was like, wait, hold on. Like, at my core, speaking is my passion, right? Stage is my passion. Events are my passion. And when people without those ethics and those values are given that those stages, what comes of that is this ripple effect of all these people being taken advantage of. And really think that regardless of kind of that industry, when we start to set, you know, what are our boundaries, what's that impact we want to put out into the world so other people who love what we love can step into that space in a very safe way, it creates this container that allows everyone to like be themselves, not just authentically, but in their truth. And I think that is actually the most powerful thing, regardless of kind of the industry. It's how do you provide that container for other people to step into their truth?
Absolutely.
Yeah. For us, is how do we truly show our truth and let people see that it is something is, you know, truly us.
Right.
Because for us, if we could show, you know, people that, hey, this, we are truly who we say we are, which I think we're doing pretty well with the podcast on showing who we actually
are. Trying. Yeah.
But I feel like that's the most of the battle is people look at you automatically, especially when you're in an industry like we are, with skepticism because there is so much negative, right? Yes. There's so many bad actors in this industry. And I kind of think of it like a used car sales lot, right? You're automatically going to go onto that used car sales lot thinking that my salesman is probably going to be sleazy, you know?
Yeah. Right. And exactly.
How do you break out of that mentality and tell people, hey, I'm not that guy. I'm different. You know, you have to approach everything differently than the other guy would have, or else you're going to remind them of that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think so. I'm actually located in Las Vegas, which is, I mean, like I grew up here, right? But it's a hub for all of these different industries and these different things to come together. And of course, like, you know, sexuality is one of them. And, you know, we have swingers clubs and we have like underground networks and like we have all of these things. And it's really interesting to see how the people who are really trying to hold standards, you know, within those communities and provide that ethical, like, container, really step forward and say, hold on, like, what are we going to do here? How does this work? And even in very public, like, swingers clubs, there's security here. You know, there's people constantly cleaning areas. There's always that sense of safety, which is amazing. And so I think that there's something really, really powerful in that as well.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, being able to feel safe, like when you're in this like vulnerable place, if you will, like you having that security and knowing that like you're not going to get taken advantage of is huge. So.
Yeah,
we've never gotten to go to Vegas for lifestyle stuff. That's on the list.
I've never been to Vegas.
I've been to Vegas once back when I was doing boring property management stuff. But, you know, since then, I'd love to go back and just be able to party it up. My buddy was there not too long ago, and he was like, dude, this place was like made for you. And I was like, I know, man, but like, I got kids. You know? One of your best friends moved to Vegas. She grew up there, right?
Yeah.
And then moved back recently. So that's kind of cool.
Back not too long ago.
So we got a reason to get out there for that too.
For sure.
But no, I'd love to explore. So what kind of like, have you've gone to these clubs, obviously yourself, you know about them, or are you just
both
speaking to us from secondhand or what?
Yeah, I mean, both. And what's it? Some of them I haven't been to, right? But I have been to some of them and with different partners, which is very interesting. And I've always been able to see how being with a different partner sets that set of boundaries, right? That's a set of values. How does that change what I'm comfortable with? How does that change, you know, what they're comfortable with in the scenario and all of that? So it's been very, very interesting. And also within that kind of that context, you know, I was saying like before we jumped on, like, I feel like I'm just like normal, you know, most days, like, I'm like, yeah, this is cool, whatever. And I have these moments when I'm kind of emerged in that. I've always said that going to these clubs or being, even if you're not participating, right? Even if you're not doing anything, being present and allowing that to kind of come up and be liberating for you is so like cleansing. Like it feels like freedom, right? It feels like this just energy release, even if you're not actively participating. And I've tried to express this a lot, like, hey, it gets rid of all this like stuff you're just hanging on to. And, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, whatever. And then I would go with them and they'd be like, wow, that was actually really amazing. Like, I know.
Right.
I know. Because having that sexual energy and just letting it be who you are and part of your personality is, I think, such a huge step forward. And then showing other people that that's also safe and doing that. And I'm going to jump into my story because I think that this is such a great example of this. So a couple years ago, the company I was working with was producing a pretty big event in California. And we had a venue in a hotel. I think it was like Hilton or Marriott. It was, you know, a pretty solid hotel. And I was managing the whole event. So the event was about 200 people. And I was doing the logistics. I was like everything, right? Because that's what I do. And it was the first time that my partner, who I just started seeing, he was like, I really don't understand what you do for a living. And I was like, come to the event. I'll show you. Like, I'll show you what we do.
Right.
And in the back of my head, I'm like, this is such a great opportunity for hotel sex. Like, no one should ever turn that down. Right.
Every opportunity is a good opportunity for hotel sex.
But... Yeah. Right. I'm like, any opportunity we can get. So he came out and he came out on his days off. At the time, he was working in 9-to-5 and I eventually pulled him into like the entrepreneurial lifestyle. But anyway, so at the time he was working in 9-to-5 and he comes out and, you know, I'm up on stage. I'm emceeing the event and he's in the back of the room. And I say from stage, you know, at this event, anything can happen. And I'm like getting the audience and I see him like light up. And it was like this moment when he was like, oh, my God, like this is, you know, what she does. And it just really created this cool energy, this very like attractive, fun energy. He ended up running the event with me. He started like, it was super cool. But anyway, so hotel sex, right? So I bring all of this stuff with me, like toys and, you know, masks, whatever, like the whole kit and caboodle, right?
Right.
And I put it into the hotel drawer. And, you know, we have fun, we do our thing and we go to check out and he had left actually. So it was me and the team and everyone else. We go to check out and I'm driving home to Vegas from California and I get about 20 minutes away from the hotel and I'm like, shit, I just left all of those in the drawer. Right.
Oh,
and
no.
So like I'm driving and I'm like, okay, what do I do? Do I just like replace them or do I go back? Do I go back for them? And then I started thinking about everything I've left. I'm like, that is so much money. Like,
yeah,
that is so much money. Like if I left, you know, jewelry, would I just leave it there? No, I would go back for it.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. So I call him and I'm like, hey, so, you know, I left intimate items in the room and I hear the woman on the end of the phone, like, stop. And she's like, what room? And I tell her, she's like, Yeah, we have that. And I was like, cool, I'm going to come back and get it. And she kind of didn't know how to respond to me. And, you know, you would think as a hotel, they would find stuff often, but I don't think people come back for it. I think that if they leave it, the hotel moves on, you know, like there's this silent, like you don't do it. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. If I've invested this much money in like this stuff, I'm definitely coming back for it. And I'm going to walk in there and just be like, yep, it's mine. Like, this is just what we're doing. And this was at risk of like, I still have clients in the hotel. Like I still had company people in the hotel. And I was like, you know, at the end of the day, what am I going to say? Yes, I'm kinky and I like to have fun when I'm having sex like that. Like, who's going to be like, oh, that makes you a terrible person. Is literally the worst case scenario. So I go up to the desk. And they had wrapped it in like bubble wrap. And I was like, okay, are we like,
seems
what are
like
we
you
doing?
Touched like, it a little more than necessary.
Yeah, right. I have so many questions. Like, were you curious? Also, what are you doing? Are you like bouncing it off the ground at this point? Like, I know it's like silicone, but cool. So lots of questions. So they hand it to me and then it was like all wrapped in bubble wrap. And she kind of gave me this look like she was shocked. Like no one ever comes back for this stuff. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And I just like carried it out to the car. I threw it in the back and like I went on my way. And as I was driving, I was thinking about how important that was for me to step into that and just be like, yeah, this is like, you know, go ahead, question me. Like, I, you know what I mean? I don't, it's really none of your business. And also, you know, this is normal. People do these things. And there's that thing of shame of like, you know, what if someone finds out? Or, you know, what if people knew? And I think that that's the same shame that was like decades ago, right? When we talk about like gay men who had to hide for forever, right? And we talk about all these different things. It's that same sexual shame, except it's just manifesting into different ways. And so that really like taking that stance and like showing up and being a little bit embarrassed and working through that and working through the awkward and really saying, no, like, guess what? This is, you know, who I am. And I would take a guess that this is who a lot of people are and just not willing to step into that. And that's really shifted. After that, that really shifted my how do I show up? right? What are actually the pieces of my personality? And then like everything can be one thing at once, right? Like I can own a business, I can show up on stage, I can do multiple things, and also I can be, you know, sexually open and liberated and do fun things like that and all of these things. And I think that that is where the power is. And I noticed that every time one of those things becomes a little like pushed down or repressed or something, that manifests for me in anxiety, that manifests for me in like overeating, right? And all these like toxic other behaviors. So it's really kind of become my mission to pay attention to who I am as a complete person and encourage others to do that.
I
think it's a very relatable 100% story.
Like, yeah. Get that. Yeah. Like
There's plenty of times in our lives, yeah, where we've just driven away from the expensive things just so that we don't have to, you know, go back and face them. And I think,
yeah,
one of my favorite like techniques in getting over like awkwardness, especially with sex stuff, was I used to love, and you hated this so fucking much, I used to love to go into sex shops, right? And I'd go up to the lady at the counter and I'd just say, what is your favorite thing here? What is the coolest?
Or like, what's the wildest thing?
Sell me on something. I want to be sold. I'm the biggest sucker that's ever walked in here.
Expensive thing. Like, don't just be like, we got some like glue.
So when that, every now and then, you know, I'd get some girl that would get like super excited, and I'd realize that like she gets so excited when she's trying to sell this that she's speaking unfiltered,
right?
And it allows me to be able to speak back unfiltered and ask the questions that needed to be asked about this toy.
A lot of the time we wouldn't end up buying it, but like, because it would be like, just
because
like,
I just go on Amazon afterwards because it was like 50%
right
off.
Or yeah, it'd be an outrageous price and you're like, yeah,
I wish I could say I'm a great person, but like,
you know, I get it.
I was broke for a long time. I bought a lot of sex toys that never got used.
Yeah,
so. Very, very black hole of money.
But like, no, I get the anxiety part of like that, like shame and like just kind of like stuffing it down. And like, I mean, we've been doing like being creators for 3.5 years, and we just within the last 2 weeks told, I mean, we didn't tell like grandparents, but like we've told our moms.
You keep saying we, not everybody. I mean, we told everybody. We just like specifically blocked a few people so right, they had a harder way of finding out.
Right. But, like, so like, I'm sure maybe they know, but like we went out publicly and like announced it on our like.
You can officially say you told every one of your friends.
Sure did. I messed up on my, I went through and I blocked a bunch of people like, you know, that I didn't want to know necessarily. And then I had that like, everybody else can know. I went to go post the like thing saying that we were announcing it, that we, you know, do OnlyFans and all this. I mixed up the lists and announced it to the people that I did not want to know. And it was up for like 12 minutes before I realized it. And, you know, then quickly deleted it and made sure I got the right list up. But like, talk about anxiety. It was like, oh my God, I just told my like my grandparents,
but for us,
my like, aunts and uncles and cousins.
Just like you going back and just being like, fuck it, let me grab those toys. For us, it was, fuck it, let us just tell these people, because we can't bring our business to the next level having this anxiety. I can't do what I know how to do as a businessman with my hands tied behind my back because I don't want my grandma seeing a helicopter. You know what I mean? not that I have the helicopter just out there, and not that my grandma's looking for them.
But, like, but, you just never know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So, no, and it's right. It's totally true. And I think that right, you can't move forward. And when you get stuck, it becomes stagnant. And like, what do you do with that? Like, what do you do with that stagnant energy that in business and like life and everything? So, yeah, I mean, like, I don't like announce on my, you know, social media that I'm going to like, you know, swingers club or I'm doing whatever. But at the same time, I'm very like open about it. Like, I don't hide it either. In fact, originally, like, my partner and I were going to start a podcast too, and then we just got so busy with everything else. But that has always been in the forefront of how we wanted to show up, is in this very like, we are, you know, a complete person with everything.
Right. Yeah. No, that's kind of how like we announced whatever. Like, we did the announcement, and we told everybody we have a podcast, but we were like, if you want to know more, listen to it. If not, like, this is the end of it. Like, this is all we're going to give you. But like, if you dive in and explore,
yeah, like, we don't care
bit,
if you join us on
right,
our journey.
Like,
we're not ashamed of it.
Right.
Like,
but like, we're not going to like stuff it down your throat and be like, you have to listen to this. And like, we're going to post it on our, you know, our social medias every day. It's like, no. This was the end of it.
It's a little easier when you're trying to push, like, your own song on a crowd of people versus trying to push your own pornography on somebody. You know, you got to tread a little more carefully, I guess.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, just be like, hey, everybody come look at it. But, like, at the same time, you're like, I don't care. Like, come look at it if you want. If not,
it's
whatever.
Fire, so, like...
Like, you know, whatever. So, like, but, like, the amount of support that, like, I got, like, with people reaching out being like, that's incredible. They're like, I had no idea.
You can tell there's a lot of other people that are looking for that same sort of relief.
Right.
They saw the relief that she got from it. I mean, she's been sleeping like a fucking baby.
Yeah, like, right before, like, the, like, weeks leading up to it, it was like, I was restless. Like, I just, anxious, like, just everything. And then it was like, that night, it was just like, just the, like, cathartic, like, release. And you're just like, okay, like, it is what it is. And if someone doesn't like it, whatever. If not, then, you know, like, cool, we're cool. So, like, it really shows you who's, like, in your corner and, like, who's willing to accept you, whether they, like, want to, like, join in or, you know, want to do the same things that you do. But, like, just having that, like, acceptance really, like...
Well, it's always awkward too, because you have that loud minority, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The vocal minority. It's always like, ew! You know, they're the one that's going to be like, ew, that's weird, because it makes them uncomfortable, you know? Let me hurry up and call out the attention to somebody else so that somebody doesn't see me being uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's just one of those things you just got to push through, because unfortunately it's that person that's probably miserable in their life, and they're probably the one that needs to listen to this and just be like, you know, hey, open up a little bit, you know?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly. I mean, that's really, it's those, the few people that we are worried about, you know?
Right.
I think the large majority, if you're not approaching the wrong crowd, obviously.
Right.
Is going to be fine with it and will look if they want to look, and they'll look away if they don't want to look.
Right. Yeah.
And
I agree.
I think that there's two, right? Like, there's this, and I don't know, it was for me like this for a while, is this like, hey, you know, should I feel ashamed of, like, being exposed, like, physically, right? Should I feel, like, bad about this? And then a couple months ago, so in 2020, right, mid-pandemic, because I thought this was a solid idea, I had plastic surgery. And I worked really, really hard to, like, lose weight. And, like, I had everything, basically my entire abdomen was, like, redone. And so then about almost a year ago, my plastic surgeon was hacked. And they dropped all of the pictures, all of the personal information online. Like,
oh,
it's
no.
Still online, right? So, like, when I first found out, I was really upset about it. And then I was like, what do I have to be upset about? Like, I looked at it, and all of the documents said is, like, hey, here's what we're doing, and here's what she wants. And, like, right? And I was like, and I looked at the pictures, and I was like, yeah, I tried really hard to, like, not have this body online. But also, like, if you are looking and you're that curious, like, how does that affect me, really? Like, really, how does that affect me? You know? And after that, I was just like, no, I don't have that shame. I don't have that, like, worry anymore. You know? And that made, you know, like, swingers clubs more fun. I was like, without that, who cares? Like, you know, for a while there, I'd be like, okay, well, we're not going to get, like, totally naked, right? We're going to get, like, just make easy access or, like, whatever, and groping. And then the last time I went, we had such a blast. And it was, like, my partner and I, we just, you know, it was a lot more freeing and open and all these things. And I think it was because I was able to get over that, like, that shame of, like, emotional exposure and physical exposure and all of those things.
I think you can relate to that. It took you quite a while. We did baby steps through every bit of the way.
Baby steps the entire time. Like, we've been swingers for 10 years, and, like, it took forever to, like, get to a club. And then from the club, you know, okay, we're going to, like, get undressed. And then, okay, now we're going to do, like, all baby steps. Because it's just, like, to me, it was, like, just such a taboo that it was, like, you know, like, I don't want to feel that guilt that I was, like, having fun and, like, wanting to do this stuff when everybody else in society is like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. So, like, it took a long time, but now I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'll go, like, we go to Hedonism too in Jamaica, and I'm like, the minute, like, I leave the check-in place, I'm like, whoosh, clothes are off, and I'm like, you gotta, like,
if you like swingers clubs, you need to make a vacation there.
Yeah,
goodness, that place is heaven on earth.
Yes, that's our favorite
even
place.
If you just want to people watch, even if you're just a people watcher, it is perfectly fine. We've been several times and did not have sex with other people.
Yeah.
But just watching the
just everything in general, because it's you can have sex anywhere, and so it's like,
and talk about cool, you know, people in high places that, you know, are still, you know, sexually active, right, and stuff, because everybody, first off, it's expensive, so a lot of the people that are going to end up there are obviously, you know, people that have been somewhat successful in life,
right? Mm-hmm.
But even like the guy that owns it now, Harry,
yeah,
like, he was, nobody knew that he had money or anything like that.
Like, he was just, like, a regular person that, would go to the resort, and then one day he was like, I'm gonna buy it, and then he just bought it, and nobody knew.
Nobody knew he even had enough money to buy the resort.
Right.
They just thought he was a regular part of the crew.
Right. It was wild. That's so amazing. Like, I mean, and, when you're there and your clothes, you know, are off, and you're, like, everybody's on level playing field, you don't know who's the doctor, who's the teacher, who's the janitor, who's, you know, like, everybody is like equal in that, like, you know, respect as far as, like,
Joe Canino said, nudity is the great equalizer.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. It's just like, you don't know who anybody is. Like, they could be, you know, someone super high up and you wouldn't know unless you speak to them and they tell you. So, like, it's kind of cool that it, like, just kind of like everybody is on that, like, even playing field as far as that.
I think it all plays into that getting rid of the shame, though. And I mean, being able to, you know, for us to be able to grow as humans, as a business, all that kind of shit. Yeah. We just had to say, this is what we're going to fucking do. This is what makes us happy. And we're not going to stop doing it. And if somebody found out, we're not going to stop doing it. So
right. That was our, like,
might as well just
thing.
Tell everybody now and get rid of that thing that's just weighing me back and slowing me down, and just cut it loose and let's just get on with our lives.
Yeah.
And I mean, we said, whoever comes from this, whoever comes out of us, you know, on the other side, right, we're forcing our friggin' friendship on them now.
Yeah.
So we're coming after them like a bulldog. They're going to have to say, hey,
stop.
This is enough friendship. Back off now, you know?
Enough friendship.
Well, because I'm like, you know, like, you know, we realized we were talking to a friend the other day, and they were like, you know, if 1 out of 100 people you can, like, respond to, like, in, like, if you say, like, a joke or whatever, and one person laughs, that's the person I want to hang out with, because they know who, like, my true self is. It doesn't matter about all the other people. It's like, it doesn't, quantity isn't, like, what I'm looking for. It's like, I want the true, like, raw, like, real.
But,
like,
that's why I did so well in real estate, right, too, though, because I would show up to business appointments. Everybody else showing up in buttoned up shirts and their slacks.
The suits and...
I came from, like, I was living in Nashville right before that.
Right.
So I had cowboy boots, I had jeans, and I had, like, a flannel shirt that I'd, like, have rolled up halfway. And I'd show up and...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I looked fantastic. We won't get into that. But the... I would show up and they'd be like, you know what, man, I appreciate it, because, like, I don't want to have to dress up when I'm going to look at the house that I'm going to live in, because ultimately I need to feel comfortable in the place that I'm going to live at. And I was like, well, ultimately I can't sell you unless I'm comfortable, and me in a dress shirt and slacks is not comfortable. This is who I am, you know, and you're going to get the most genuine, authentic version of myself. And when I tell you things about this home now, you're going to fully believe everything that I say, because you can see who I truly am.
Right.
I think it works in every fucking aspect of business, not just, you know, real estate.
Right.
I mean, it certainly works in our industry.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I think it was Alex Hormozi. It was one of them online. I saw it, like, a couple weeks ago, and it was like, for business, you know, you know that it might fail, right? Like, you know that, but you have to play forward like it's not going to. Like, you have to just play like, this is not going to fail no matter what I do. And that translates into relationships, whether it's like a partner or a friend, you have to play like it's not going to fail. And I think that that's every, like, across the board, whatever you're going into, like, even if there's a chance, you have to play like that chance doesn't exist, because if you can't show up all the way, you can't play all the way, there's definitely no chance of it ever succeeding.
Right. Yeah. Like, if you go, you know, start something and you're like, oh, well, it's probably not going to, you know, it's not going to make it, like, you're going to kind of, like, just, like, force it into the ground, because, like, you don't believe in it. So it's like, if you're just like, yeah, no, we're going to do awesome.
See, anything I start with the complete delusion that I am the best in the world at the thing that I am doing. So I have no problem with it, but it's her that I have to talk her into.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I mean, same. That's how
I'm quickly, quickly brought back down to earth. Like, I know I'm not the best in the UAE. I'm only number 3.
Which
is what I was telling him right before that. Yeah, I was like, are you sure we're still number three? Like, you don't want to announce that you're number three when you're like 60. And he's like, I'll check. I'm like, you know,
no,
I'm
like, it's the same thing. I wake up and I'm like, so I'm going to start a business today. This is what I decided to do. And my partner's like, okay, but let's talk about it. So
I gotta go.
Yeah, like sorry, I'm gonna go buy some domains and like, you know,
like, I'm just gonna get
the all the time. The domains is always my first move. I'm like, no, that's a fantastic name. Locking it in.
Right. If you start a business, you have to make sure no one else has that domain. It's always
I've got like 30 domains and I'm like, I don't even have a business idea for this one.
But I'm gonna hold on. Good.
They're great. Oh yeah, I'm like outside, like we're like, you know, having a drink outside and I'm like, that's brilliant. Let me go buy the domain. And then they're like, you know, $12 for the year or whatever on GoDaddy, but I'll have like five of them. And he's like, you just spent so much money. And I'm like, they're but $12. I know there's
five. Yeah, I know. I've lost track of how much I spend. I just get these renewal notices now. And I'm like, oh, cool. I thought I canceled that one. Okay, I have it for another 2 years now. I'll try to remember it next time.
Yeah. But that's literally how the podcast started. Like I went to our daughter's gymnastics class and I came home.
Well, to be fair, I'd been talking about it for a long time.
But like, it
and
was
every
like,
time I talked about it, she'd be like, well, what would I talk about? What would I do?
Right.
How do I know what to talk about? Like, no, literally, we just have a conversation.
Right.
Like I'm pretty sure, because I'd never listened to a podcast, but I'm pretty sure that's what people do is they have conversations. But like, and she's like, no, I don't do that. I'm like, no, that's all you do is talk. Like, you're perfect for this.
But like, I went to the gymnastics. I was gone for like an hour and a half. Like, not long. And come home and he was like, so we're going to start a podcast. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I already got it all set up. And I was like, okay, but like, I need details. And he's like, we'll figure it out. I'm like, okay. And then like, so the weekend goes by and then Monday I go to our son's soccer. And then he's like, cool, I got all the website and everything set up. And I'm like, what are we talking about on a podcast? And he's like, we'll figure it out. Like, okay, but that's just kind of like how he is. I'm like, I need details. I need a plan. And he's like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay.
But my partner's the same way. He's like, okay, but we need to know what we're doing. And I, like, he said the same thing. What am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? And then when he came to the event with me and he just kind of took over and he realized he had that ability to like step into a situation, step into like kind of my chaos and then like organize it within. He was like, all right, cool. He's like, so now I just show up and take over. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm going to give you the idea. I'll set up all the tech in the background. And if you could just like manage the details, that would be great.
This sounds like us. I'm like, I will be the detail person. Like, I
and great. When she had anxiety for the past few years, running the page was really tough because I am not a detail person. So I probably could have made 10 times the amount of money that we made had I had her system behind me.
Right.
Because I don't like, okay, so she'll like, she can do templates. Like she'll be like, okay, I'm going to say the same thing 20 times. Well, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to hit copy and paste. Because like I have to leave this program to go hit copy and then come back. I'm gonna type it real quick. So I'll spend an extra, you know, 30 seconds on each one typing it out, you know.
Every time.
And then after I do two, I'm like, fuck this, you know?
And then you just doesn't
and then
it.
I just stop. And that's where she comes in, where she's like, if she starts something, she has to finish it.
Right.
And that's just not a quality that I always have.
But like it was helpful when I did have the anxiety that I was like, I need to like mentally, like, I don't want to stop what I'm doing, but like, I need to take a step back and like focus on me. And like, he was able to like step in, but like, it was hard because like,
I am chaos.
He is chaos. So like, there was no organization. And then when I finally like took it back over, I was like, what is going on here? He was like, I have no idea. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so like chaotic. I'm like, I'm gonna, he goes, do whatever you need to do. I'm like, I've gotta like basically not nuke it, but like, I was like, I gotta like, restart all like
it, it seems so, she goes through and I'm like, this seems so neurotic, like I can't,
but I'm like, it's,
she's got lists within her lists within her lists, and I'm like, it's, and then she'll ask me questions, should this person go in this list? I don't know, I didn't make the fucking list.
You're like, I don't know what the lists are, and I'm like, okay, I'll just put them in the list, it's fine. But like, to me, I'm like, that's what I need, is like, I need that, like the organization and not the chaos, but like the chaos, you know, makes it fun and like it complements the two of us.
Yeah, so I had to actually ditch that word chaos because I was becoming it so much that it was like bleeding into other things. And so like I was sitting in therapy one day, like because I just think there, like I want to go to therapy. So I was sitting in therapy one day and I was like, I think chaos is an illusion. And she was like, yeah, yeah. And so I started thinking about like how I reframe this. So like it doesn't, because I can't stop like who I am, right? Like I know how I jump into projects. I know that excitement. I know that hype. And then I was like, wait though. If I can like reframe how I think about this, right? What does this actually mean? And how can I be productive without like using the word? Because the word started to like bleed into like my real life and bleed into like all these things. And then I was just like, hold on, like this is like, and then my anxiety would peak and no more. And so I started telling people, I work with in business. I was like, all right, so we don't subscribe to chaos, but here's how we're going to manage that in a way that's not detail oriented, but still fun, right? Still hypey. And it's been a game changer, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs too are like, well, I have to hustle. I have to spend like every moment working. I have to do this. I'm like, no, you don't. Work-life balance. And also if you spend your time effectively doing what you need to do, and then you can like put off on other people, like the detail oriented people can have the tasks. The tasks that I'm not good at. I'm not good at writing copy. I'm not good at a lot. But so I give that to other people, and I really look at my calendar, and like it's been through that process, and I've started teaching people that like we don't subscribe to chaos. However, we also acknowledge, you know, that there's different people are good at different things and all of that. And it's been fabulous, and I've been much calmer.
I do appreciate your definition of it or insight on it. To me, so I got real estate down pretty damn well as far as like under control for stuff, to where I was probably only working
like
4 or 5 hours a week.
Right. It was very
at one point, and I was doing really well, but it's because I was also having to do her page on the side. So it was like I was still working, you know.
Right. But like you also had people there to help you out as far as like the real estate goes.
But I feel like I was so put into a narrow kind of lane for me as somebody with just crazy ADHD, that being able to say, hey, I can allow a little bit of chaos now is important for me, at least for the creativity side, you know? But I do know that I'm going to have to rein it back in at some point. I know that chaos cannot completely reign free forever, but for me, at least for the mindset that, you know, the current journey that we're on, I suppose, I think it's, slightly important.
Right. But, and we've got it under control, I think, for the most part. Like,
well, then it's not chaos.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe.
To be clear, when I'm out of my control, like, when I'm left to my own devices, I like love to just, like, I've never been diagnosed with ADHD, but I'm pretty sure I have it because that's how I function. I'm like, I'm going to start a business here, and I'll buy this domain, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And so when I'm left up to my own devices, I'm like that a lot. I also don't eat properly, which I think is actually part of that, because I'll go downstairs and I'll be like, I want chips and cheese and jalapenos, and I'll pop it in the microwave, right, for lunch. It's totally not healthy at all. And my partner's like, you eat like a stoner when you're alone. And I'm like, I know, because I don't have like time and like bandwidth to like make good food. And so he will like, he takes care of all that stuff. Like he cooks, he will make sure my lunch is prepped. He like looks at everything I write. He's like, why are you the queen of run-on sentences? And I'm like, cause that's how my brain works. So like he fixes all of that. And so I know that without that container, I'm just not as effective.
Just add a couple of ellipses into those sentences, you know, a little dot, dot, dot into the sentence.
Okay.
And it's fine.
It makes it seem a lot less run on. Yeah, yeah. You're fine. You'll be fine.
It's totally fine.
Yeah, no, I've been doing it for years. Nobody's ever complained.
No, it's true. And I just, you know, I do better when I have someone to act as a container for, you know, all of that. And so, you know, sometimes that's him. Sometimes it's the people I work with. But I openly will say, hey, I know that I've hit this with this. So I need, you know, another set of eyes. I need this taken care of. And I'm very vocal about that. And I found that, you know, being very vocal in that over communication in business and in relationships is translated, you know, into sex too. I'm like, hey, so let's go do this. I did breath work one day. I did breath work. I'd never done breath work before. And I came home and I was like, I want to go to a club like right now. And he was like, I have work tomorrow. So no. And I was like, but I want to go like right now.
You're like, but.
So, yeah. And so I know that without kind of that that pushback on me sometimes, that I can create a lot of that chaos, and I need to get feedback. I need to get active, live, repetitive feedback from people constantly to keep that kind of in line.
I think we may be the same person.
I was to say, this is sounding very similar.
It's so funny. So she was talking to, or we were talking to another one of my friends, one of my former clients,
right,
who has been friends with me forever. But she had said that, I was telling her, we were kind of like making our tribe, so to speak.
Right.
We were, you know, finding people that were likewise, and we're just opening up and saying, hey, come to us, and whoever comes is who we take. And she was like, it's really weird. What you're going to find out is you're going to find that you're going to like attract people that are like you.
Right.
Like the way that you,
you're like a
the
magnet.
Way your energy comes out, your magnet will be back. And it's been so weird.
It's so wild. Yeah.
So wild how true that was. And like, she just said that like 3 days ago, and she might be listening to this. And
so she listens to him. So
Chandy, you're a prophet.
Yes.
But no, it's like for real. It's wild. And I think it's just, it's cool. And you can't do this though, unless you drop that shame and you're willing to
accept
yourself and become yourself.
Well,
and
that
show
and
people
accept
who you are.
Other, you know, people's feedback and help. And like, in knowing that, like, hey, like you said, hey, I may not be that great at this, so like someone else can step in and help out with what they're good at, and like being able to do that, and like knowing like people's strengths, yeah, and weaknesses.
Well,
and
that's
like,
management right there,
right?
That's
like it's a good thing to know and have that like knowledge, and like I don't know.
Yeah, hey, look, I'm ready for management, you know. I got it. I had a real estate team, I had a property management team, I had a band.
Yeah.
I'm the managing guy, so.
I mean, I've never had a band, but yeah, I mean, like, agreed. But also, I find that line is ego, and so a lot of entrepreneurs, and I've seen this throughout my industry, they get really, really popular, really successful, very, very quick, and then they get like $2 million in revenue, and all of a sudden their business dies. And it's because they didn't take the time to check their ego, be authentic, and also they didn't have their systems and operations in place, right? So it's like a combination of both. And so one thing like I've really paid attention to along the way is, where am I being authentic and where am I being a little egotistical, and how do I keep that in check? Because that is not attractive on anybody. Like, high ego is just not, and it is so detrimental. And, you know, constant chaos without the container to feed back on, like, it's very easy to drive that ego up. And that's another reason I'm like, I need people to like keep me in check, because I also have that toxic trait. I'm like, I'm going to be the best at this right now, and it's going to be awesome. Look, I can't feel, and it's fine. So
that's you.
I think I've been knocked on my ass enough times, yeah, at this point that I am cautiously optimistic. But as you said, anytime you start a business, there's no point to start a business and make preparations for it to fail.
Right.
Exactly.
That does nothing for anybody. So I think there's obviously, you're right, that fine line between being confident enough and having too much of an ego to where you can fail. And I've had that, especially when in music.
Right.
And I started to figure it out in property management. I think by the time I got to real estate, I was like, all right. And I think for real estate, for me, it's like I had enough success in it.
Right.
That once it started getting boring, and then I started feeling like there is an ethical issue to where like I was like constantly thinking, am I screwing somebody over? On top of not having that like positive reinforcement, it was just like, nope, I cannot handle it. Could not sleep anymore. I can't think of possibly, you know, selling somebody a house that's $150,000 more expensive than it should be and telling them to waive a home inspection, you know,
just so they get their
just
house.
So they get their offer accepted,
and then knowing in like 3 years they might have to move and they're going to be so underwater that
no thanks, I'll have sex with my wife on camera instead.
I've seriously been sitting here working and like looking at people being so unethical, and I'm like, sex on camera would be so much easier. Like, I've literally had that
it
thought.
It is
I
join us, it's fine.
Having this thought like shows that ethically like I have at least that guideline, you know. And number
that
two,
moral compass,
right, it's that step into being authentic. Like, you know, when you can recognize that like lack of ethics, lack of values, all of those things, and when you start to like move in that area, you're like, ooh, this doesn't feel good, like I don't like this anymore, you know, I have to pull out of it and do other things to get my values back into alignment.
Well, I mean, that's like with the page too. Like, I've had plenty of opportunities that I could go and like kind of go in a different direction of like how our page is going. And I'm like, but that's not who I am. Like, yes, I might be more successful. I might be able to make a ton of money. But deep down, that's not who I am.
And she'd be miserable. She would be right back to where she was. Right.
And I would be miserable, and it would just, it wouldn't work, because I know deep down that that's not like who I am. And so it's like, yeah, obviously I want, you know, a lot of money. Like, who wouldn't? Like, you know, knowing that like that is a successful way to go. But like, I got to stay true to like my brand and who I am as a person, because at the end of the day, I still have to sleep at night knowing that like I didn't like sell out, if you will.
I'm confident enough too. I've based my entire life career on showing other people how cool she is. So, you know, I gave up everything just because like I'm like, she's that cool that once other people see how cool she is, they're going to want to give us money. So
I love that so much. So much.
It's so hard for me to comprehend, but
can you tell how much I love my wife? And I'm like dead serious too. I really like, she's
it's so good.
Well, I had a blast talking to you. I'll let you go. We'll have to have you back again.
Yeah, this
is fun. Anytime, like, just come shoot the shit with us. You know, if you're ever in Florida, we're like an hour away from Disney. Hit us up. You know, we have friends in this area.
Amazing.
Now. But. Just stay in contact with us. I will send you everything like I mentioned before. And before we hang up on here, just make sure we wait until this fully loads. You'll see like 100% loading bar.
Oh, cool.
Also, go ahead and drop your socials for me, just so that anybody can find you. If they want to find you.
Typing is hard. Okay, there we go.
Yes, it is. But use this, apparently. There it is. Yes. All right. That's Instagram. Yep, at Superstar Upgrades.
All right.
On Instagram. And it was awesome talking to you. This went into an interesting, like, kind of like branch of things I just never even thought about. I love this shit.
Yeah.
I absolutely love diving into like little things that I didn't know were connected in my life.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. So thank you. Genuinely thank you.
Fun. It was a lot of fun, yeah.
We'll absolutely have you back, and hopefully everybody will also subscribe to you and check out all of the clips that we have going up on our Instagram, and of course, subscribe to us too.
Yeah.
You know, onlyfans.com/StephanieClass. And one last thing, listeners, as well, we need podcast reviews.
Yes.
We're number 3 in the UAE.
Yeah.
But we have 0 podcast reviews, okay? So it seems a little sus.
So, no credibility.
Like underground, people are like listening to the podcast like secretly.
Yeah, but they don't want anybody to know. I'm not cool with it. We got to come out. This whole thing is about coming out, guys. You can't be successful in life until you come out and tell everybody you're listening to the podcast.
Correct.
By leaving a review on our podcast sites.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for listening to the ramble on.
So fun.
Have a good one.
Thank you, too.
Awkward people, Stephanie and I are super excited to announce a new partnership that we have with a swinging community site called SDC. Now, the way that we're going to handle this one is this is where we're going to communicate from now on with anybody that we want to play with, because SDC has a great way of letting us figure out exactly what somebody is. It's going to ask all the right questions. I get to know with their height, their weight, their play preference, all kinds of pictures. They can upload videos, and it makes it super easy to search and verify location on. So we figured, hey, if they're going to let us play and advertise, that's probably going to be the right site for us to use, right, Steph?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense.
It's like window shopping now. Steph can just jump on and whoever she likes, boom, right there. Now, if you want to make sure that you get connected with us on that site, sign up through our link, awkwardxxx.com. Anybody that signs up there, we will find out. Now, maybe not immediately because we're still learning, but we will find you and we will send you a message saying, hey, thank you for joining. And it'll be a great way for us to connect and have unfiltered conversation together. So we're really looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll see you online at awkwardxxx.
Common Confidential. You know,
sometimes when you think about luxury, you think about like the bed sheets or the mattress that you're on. You don't necessarily think about the towels that you're going to use to clean up with afterwards. And that is probably my favorite thing about what we received from Common Confidential is these little cum rags. Y'all, it seems silly, but they are absolutely amazing. I mean, let's not get it twisted. The blanket they gave us is awesome too. Steph and I rolled around on it immediately. And the body butter that they gave us, I mean, it works for penetration too, which, you know, right up our alley. But still, the 6 washcloths, that is what I think about most often and what I try to keep clean. Because if I'm going to clean up, I'd much rather clean up with that than with a paper towel. I know it's silly, but y'all go check it out yourself, commonconfidential.com, and then use our discount code, AwkwardPillowTalk. Get some for yourself. You're going to thank me later. So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like, you kind of saw it in movies. You're like, oh, it's a penis pump. You know, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, you know, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, you know, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme 7. And I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout. My dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player. And it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then maybe 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before. So I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. BathmateDirect.com/StephanieClassX.